Good Sunday morning, brothers and sisters in the Springfield area. That was Helen Ely on the organ. And you're joining us at the Third Presbyterian Church for our Sunday morning radio worship. This is the first Sunday in May, the 1st of May. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, it is already the first day of May, and you continue to amaze us by your love and the grace you extend to all of us. As we gather from our various places on this Sunday morning, open us to be in this worship, that we might receive knowledge and wisdom from your word, and from our experience this day, we might know a closer walk with you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word sovereign means the one who's on top, or there's no one greater. We believe God to be sovereign because the great I Am in Scripture tells us so. Our praise team did a song last Sunday titled Sovereign, and we'd like to bring you that song today. The lead on the song is taken by Daquan Stamps, who has recently joined our praise team and is also teaching a music class with our Saturday Clubs program. Please enjoy.
Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. And your everlasting arms are the pieces of my life. From beginning to the end, I can trust you. And your never-failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me in the dawn. And your everlasting arms are the pieces of my life. From beginning to the end, I can trust you. And your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. All my hopes, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. All my hopes, all I need, held in your hands. All my life, all of me, held in your hands. All my fears, all my dreams, held in your hands. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. And your never failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you.
We turn this morning to that familiar event in Acts 9, also known as the conversion of Paul. Please listen once again to this story. Meanwhile, Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house on Judas on that straight street and ask a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he will be praying." In a vision he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come now here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and all the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, sent me to see you again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. So he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. May God bless the reading of this word for us this day. Amen. Harold DeCue has been arranging choir music for a long time. Today our adult choir does one of his arrangements of that Fanny Crosby classic, "Blessed Assurance." Please listen. Oh, Gettys team has, for some reason, been doing a lot of songs written by the husband and wife team at the Gettys. And here's another one titled By Faith, featuring Kari Prince on lead vocals. Which come from my mouth, and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Back in the days when I was a camper at church camp, and it was skit night, I had quite the reputation of teaming up with another guy, and together we had perfected the old Abbott and Costello routine called Who's On First. We had every line memorized, and our timing seemed to be perfect. Now, in case you're not familiar with this classic, one of the participants is the new manager of a baseball team, and the other one asks about the players. Of course, what leads to all the misunderstanding is that the players have rather odd names, like Who, What, and I Don't Know. Who happens to play first? The conversation goes something like this. So I hear you're managing a team with some pretty good players. Yes, that's right. Okay, let's see about their names. Maybe I've heard of them. Like, for example, who's on first? That's right. No, I need the name of the first baseman. Who? The first baseman. Who? No, what is the name of the first baseman? No, what's on second? Who's on second? No, who's on first? I don't know. Ah, he's on third. The routine goes on from there. It's a classic case of misunderstanding. Now, this is a routine for fun, but all of us from time to time have been involved in some misunderstanding, whether we were either misunderstood or we misunderstood someone else. Misunderstandings can be very frustrating, and in some instances, even a big waste of time. Sometimes they can even be dangerous, as our scripture story was for today. It involves a guy named Saul who had a terrible misunderstanding of who God was and how Jesus fit into the picture. In fact, the scripture is clear that Saul did not only misunderstand these new Christians, but he also became their chief opponent. And listen to this line. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. That would get you pretty much on everyone's watch list. Maybe it would even get you unfriended on Facebook. And the irony is that Saul himself did not think he misunderstood anything. He was a member of a group known as the Pharisees, and they were all about preserving the Old Testament ways. And he saw Jesus and his followers, who were called at the time the Way, as a threat to the integrity of the Old Testament theology, even though Jesus had time and time again made it clear that his purpose was not to abolish anything from the Old Testament, but to simply fulfill the promises within. And since Saul felt he was not being misunderstood on anything, and he felt he was right and they were wrong, he was adamant about doing something about it. And so the story is, as we read, he approaches the chief priest to request papers to go to a place called Damascus. There he's going to root out those Way followers and bring them back for trial and punishment in Jerusalem. So, of course, in this very familiar story, Saul and his caravan were on their way to Damascus when Jesus, the risen Lord, confronts him. Now, this is not a visit like Jesus did with the two on the road to Emmaus. Jesus comes in a rather strong and powerful way, probably because Jesus knew that someone like Saul would need a strong and powerful message. But even though Jesus confronts Saul, who can hear in his voice, you can hear in his voice the inference of grace. Jesus could have used his power to simply annihilate Saul, but he doesn't. He confronts Saul with the reality and the truth, and Saul becomes converted to Paul. Saul's conversion to Paul allows this Paul to go forth and begin converting hundreds upon hundreds of people to Christianity back then, and through all of his writings in the New Testament today, millions upon millions. Had Jesus chosen to end Saul's life then and there, Christianity would not be the same. Perhaps Jesus really did know what he was doing. Saul had a misunderstanding, but he was acting in what he believed to be his religious conviction. If you're a fan of the Simpsons TV show, you may recall that Marge and Homer Simpson have a very religious set of neighbors known as the Flanders. One time the Flanders were gone for the weekend, and Homer asked them upon their return where they were, and they said, "Oh, we were at church camp, where we learned all weekend to be more judgmental." Of course, that's the satire of the series, but you know, in some ways, religious people misunderstand what I like to call the heart of God. One of the things demonstrated in this story for today is that Jesus showed the heart of God in the way he treated Saul and in the way he stopped him from doing what he was doing. His main job was to apply grace so that truth could come through and Paul's life could be transformed. I think that same grace abounds in the world today. And my theology suggests that we always must operate with the same heart of God. Otherwise, we misunderstand what God calls upon us to do. In John 3:17, Jesus makes it clear that he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. We misunderstand the heart of God if we're about the business of condemning others rather than trying to save them. Too often in our misunderstanding of God, we look at things in the wrong ways. Famous author Anne Lamott says it this way: "You know you have created God in your image when the God you created hates the same people you do." James tells us in the early part of his letter in the New Testament, after he reminds us to be slow to speak and slow to anger, that human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Saul misunderstood God and Jesus, but Jesus did not misunderstand Saul. And with his heart, he simply wanted to save him. And in that process, he wanted to help him be a new person. K. Catherine Thacker had, according to everyone, a right to be angry. Her dad was a Kentucky State Patrol officer who was shot and killed in the line of duty when she was only 18 months old. As a teenager, she was filled with anger and hatred for the man who shot and killed her dad. But one day she realized that this anger was controlling her life. She had an opportunity to go one summer to a church camp. I wonder if they did the skit there, who's on first base. Anyway, at that church camp, she invited Jesus to come into her life. And the presence of Jesus helped her with the anger. And she shared later on that it transformed her from anger and hatred to love and forgiveness. And she began praying for the man who shot her dad. That would be after she had found Christ. Catherine knew many others who experienced this same kind of loss, and they would have the same kind of anger. And so she wanted others to understand how God, through Jesus, could help them work through those angers. So she started a program while at Liberty College called Words of Worth, which is a letter writing program to send words of encouragement, particularly to those families experiencing the loss of a family member who served as a police officer. Catherine now serves as the media person at a church in Colorado. Her message for all of us is to understand that God in all things has a heart for God's creation. And in Jesus Christ, God works to bring all to a place of salvation. Our job as followers is to show that heart in all the ways we engage others. Here's an example of a pastor who learned this lesson. His name was Pastor Simbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. It was Easter Sunday, and everyone had left for the day, and he was about the business of closing up and locking the church when he saw a homeless man sitting in the sanctuary in a pew. He went over to talk to the man, and after encouraging him that it was time to leave, he did discover that the man's name was David, and he was definitely homeless. He was dressed very dirty and in very raggedy clothes. As Pastor Simbala was trying to get him out of the building, he reached to get his money clip. His plan was to just give him a 10 and get rid of him. David saw him reach for the money clip, and he said, "Stop right there. I'm not looking for money. I'm looking to find Jesus." That was an important moment for Pastor Simbala. He had misunderstood, and he thought if he gave the man some money, if he didn't look at him as a child of God who needed salvation, the money would basically get rid of him, and then they could both go on their way. David, the homeless man, became a Christian that day, and it was a Damascus experience for both. David's life would be forever changed, and Pastor Simbala began to understand the importance of always looking at everyone through the heart of Jesus. David would go on to turn his life around and eventually would be ordained a deacon in that church. Between humans, from time to time, we will experience misunderstandings. But let's always remember that at the core nature of God is the heart for salvation of the world. And in the risen Lord, we see that heart played out in action to help people to come and change their lives as they choose to walk in the ways of the Lord. Let us, as followers of Jesus, not misunderstand what God in Christ calls upon us to do, but rather be faithful as we all look together to serve Him. Amen and amen. Thank you once again for listening to us on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM as we bring you this worship each week. Next Sunday, my wife, Pastor Jackie, and I will be returning from vacay in Jamaica, where I hope to get in a lot of golf. Our worship next Sunday will be a rebroadcast of a previous Sunday from a while ago. We invite you to please join us as well. We are so blessed to have some college students who help us out in worship. One of those has been a longtime member of our church, and she just celebrated her 21st birthday and is completing her junior year in college. So today we invite Sydney Gaston to bring us the song, In the Garden. Please be blessed.
Thank you.
Please join me in our morning prayer. God of the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and fall, hear us this morning as we come to you in prayer. It seems often humans misunderstand one another, and sometimes we, like Paul, misunderstand you, gracious God. We forget that Jesus came to save all of us, and that as followers of his, we are to reach out to everyone with that same message. To be honest, sometimes that's difficult, because we tend to draw conclusions about people even before we get to know them. And those conclusions sometimes cloud our effort to minister to them, because we simply misunderstand. But you're a God with a clear message. It was the same grace-filled message that gave Saul the opportunity to be converted to Paul. So it is the same message for us, and it's the same message we should preach and teach to others. We know that your grace is sufficient for all, and by that grace, and in your truth, people can come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and their lives will be changed. Help us find those opportunities in the places we go and the people we meet. Scripture reminds us that Jesus came as a light to the world, even though the world would rather live in darkness. Help us share that light into the world and give people, no matter who they are, a chance to live in the light. Now bless us this week and show us your will. In the name of the risen Christ we pray. Amen. E.M. Bartlett was a songwriter who also started a music company. In the middle years of his life, he suffered a debilitating stroke that left him pretty much bedridden, but that didn't stop him from writing hymns for the church. Shortly before he died, he wrote the words to our sending song for today called Victory in Jesus. God be with you this week as you go in and you go out, and may the power of the Holy Spirit guide your steps and help you completely understand your mission this week as you are a servant of God, and God will be with you. Amen. Wow, another 30 minutes has flown by. We thank the very talented Helen Ely on the organ and piano, Jeff Prince, our music director. A special thanks to lead singers Daquan Stamps and Corey Prince, and the TPC praise team and the TPC choir. Thanks to Seth Hood, our AV director, and to Matt Miller, the man who only comes out of his cave long enough to look around for a minute because he's always busy doing our post-production work. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear. I've been the pastor here at TPC now in my 30th month, and I feel very called to be here. God bless you this week, and please, please, please stay safe out there.